Many of the previous talks have focused on aspects of what the teaching is and some of how it's conveyed. This goes a little bit further in some specifics regarding the conveyance. Part of the reason for giving so many talks and going around the subject is hopefully to assist you to catch a sense and feeling within yourself of what the teaching really is, the conveyance of guidance that exists and comes to you through your heart, through the atmosphere that exists in the world, and the many different layers and levels of intuition, how the one being moves to realize, remember, have recognition of itself, oneself, and how you are part of this, and how the unfolding takes place in daily life and activities. There are other ways that the teaching is conveyed, and one of the main ways is through specific work and guidance that exists and continues on several different levels and through many different forms and means. And these are focused around the body of guidance that one being made up of all those illuminated souls, in the words of Anayat Khan, who make up the body of the spirit of guidance, or the face of the spirit of guidance, I would say. And these beings work constantly within the world to assist folks, to assist other people who are either seeking to go further, to remember, to reconnect, to assist those souls on other levels who are evolving, and those beings, those souls that incarnate into this denser sphere, many of whom come with particular works or jobs or efforts in mind with intention to complete them. And so part of the work is to assist and continue that the continuity of the work. Further, there's the evolution of the species of beings, of people within this sphere, within this realm, and there are steps and stages of development within the various traditions or paths or religions that have sprung up over the thousands of years. In particular, many people who have come into the planet here will convey little aspects and parts of the greater teaching. They are conveying this, and many of them, again, as I said, have come in with the intention to do specific works to bring this further along. This is a lot like everyone working for a large corporation or organization. In this case, it's a living organism, and that organism is oneself, of which you are a part, but have not consciously reconnected to the level in which you have become one with it again. And then some of the means of this conveyance, as they are better known or become known as the various paths or teachings or practices or religions. There's an old saying that the dove descends when Dharma decays. What this means is the light in life of renewal comes into the world when the teaching is lost, when the way is lost, when the path is lost. And there is a difference in what I call the path to what I speak of as the way being of unity, where the different approaches come together. It's a lot like a superhighway being the way, and the feeder roads being the various paths to the way, the on-ramps to the greater superhighway, or from the another perspective, it be that the ocean of unity exists, that one being, that one unity, that one ocean, and the paths and religions and teachings are as streams and rivers that flow into it. And all these have come from and as a result of beings who have brought teachings work into the earth. And many have gotten that revelation, that guidance, that inspiration that bubbles up through them, not only through the intuition of the heart unfolding, but also as a conveyance of guidance from the finer levels from these beings making up that one guiding spirit. And this is consciously done, so this may unfold in dreams, it may be inspiration, it may be communication which is subtle, can be unspoken conveyance, as in telepathic. Whether it's known or not, or whether a person's conscious but not, is another thing. And as a individual, as a person goes further in terms of realization and experience, they do reach certain levels in which they're consciously in contact with other beings at those levels and in the finer realms, including the guiding the beings making up this guiding body. Now, some of the more well-known folks who come into this world are those from whom the paths or the traditions or the religions have stemmed, and they brought in specific teachings for a region or a time or a race or a period, and in some cases it was a stepping stone, it was a step-by-step method of development, and then what happens is that people get caught with the former teachings. They're reluctant to let go of them, or the teachings crystallize, the Dharma is lost and or decays, and so somebody else has to come in to renew this. And this is a continuous effort, and this can be through bringing in prophets and teachers, or the unfolding of guidance through individuals, or the conveyance through different paths. At a certain point, it's the fulfillment of the system of the need for prophets as individual teachers and guides who bring forth different teachings, religions, but rather in this age, it's now the becoming of, through realization of each person, becoming of the prophet, the one prophet, reaching that level of unity in which the different great prophets and teachers spoke. So these are ways of conveyance. Now, through this, you also find that there are real, we'll call them mystic expressions, occult and mystic expressions of the real. Real guidance that continues and is conveyed through people who really know, who have reached levels of realization, through initiation, either seen or unseen, and usually it's both, because people who have been confirmed in this world are getting the guidance through another one also, through the different traditions, and then they go through certain work and levels and reach proficiency and reach stages of realization and experience, which allows them to be given not only the title, which are words, but rather the completed function of being able to assist somebody else, and these become the guides or teachers, whatever name it happens to be, within the particular path. And you have to be very clear and very concerned about following somebody, associating with somebody, and seeking assistance of somebody who is competent, trained, it's been confirmed, who knows what they're doing, has reached certain levels of realization and experience. It does not necessarily mean that they are perfect beings. They too are grown or have experienced all that exists and all that is, but rather that they are on the path or in the way themselves and growing further, but rather they've reached certain levels of minimum capability. And within that framework, they're able to assist to a certain degree. So you do have to have a common sense and be able to assess as much as you can without knowing what the perspective is of these individuals that are real, and this is a difficulty. It's a lot like wanting to go to medical school, and you want to assess the people who are teaching the classes at the school, yet you're not a physician, so you don't know how to assess from that perspective, but rather you rely on the association with a particular college or university. The same is true with the PATH. You look at the credentials of these people. You find out if they've completed their courses, their coursework, and within the spiritual realm, a lot of people are given words or titles without having gotten realization true experience, and you have to be careful about that. And the light, the breath, the harmony, the peace, the joy, these are more real indicators of advancement than are necessarily titles, names, pieces of paper in and of themselves that are not necessarily the end-all or be-all to have some sort of a title conveyed to a person. So you have to look at the organization, the network, so to speak, same as you would with a university. You can get called a professor or a dean of a school and can be nothing more than a matchbox cover institution. Or it can be that a person who is an associate professor in a very highly rated educational institution is far beyond the level of somebody who is called a full professor in a limited setting. Finally, you follow your heart, your breath, your intuition, after all the outer work, and then that has to be in harmony also, in harmony with the real, so pay attention to that. Now, for some particulars as to what to look for, there are qualities, characteristics, that have been talked about, written about, discussed in many different venues. And the sources are available to you, so you can read through the Sufi perspective, and Ayat Khan wrote on the some of the qualities of the teacher or guide. Idris Shah spent some books on these going into it. The Dalai Lama, in his book on meditation toward bliss, speaks of it, and there are references within that book as to others on the quality and qualifications of a real teacher. I have written about it in there's writings on the Spiritual Learning website that point toward qualities and characteristics of a teaching, of a teacher, of a guide, that are real qualities that are detrimental, deteriorated. Again, Nidra Shah will go into that. Samuel Lewis went into it. And some of his teachings. Philip Kaplow went into them, the Zen work. And I would assume that, although I don't recall reading it, Papa Swami Ram Dass in the Hindu tradition went into it also. So you have available to you a lot of different works and writings that you would have to look, you can look at and have available to you to assess qualities of different of real guides. People who assist you. And this then comes to the crucial point of whether you wish to be assisted and guided in that manner or not. And if you don't, then you're on your own, so to speak, with the help of all those beings seen and unseen who exist and will continue to help, and including some of the people in this world whose work is to assist on a, we'll say, an unseen level. You're going to get that help anyway. And the continuity of guidance through your heart of the one unseen guide. And this will continue also. But should you choose to seek guidance through an individual, and transmission that way, then you'll find, if you are able to connect with the with one who can actually work with you and help you, and really knows what they're doing, then you will find that in general travel along the path is much quicker than going through it on a trial and error and finding your own way on a trial and error basis. But you'll have to assess and decide for yourself what you want to do and don't want to do. There's a yielding that takes place. It's not giving away everything that you own. It's not giving away your opportunity to make decisions, but rather you trust somebody to help you and guide you and lead you to the next step. And that's the most important point in the relationship of the guide and guided, is that the guide knows what is the next step and is able to assist the person in making, conveying that and assist the person in toward making that step. Beyond that, nothing more is needed other than the overall connection to that one and the continuing unseen or finer levels of devotion and conveyance that exists. The work of the guide is to assist the person to make that next step, to open the door, to convey the continuity, to spark, to help spark that light and love, to point the person toward falling in love with the divine oneself again, and to help the person avoid some of the pitfalls, to learn what is going on through experience, not just words. That person is not what I would call a true guide. Could be a philosopher, could be a person of religion, but is not a mystic knowing and assisting from the real, toward the real, of the real one. So these are considerations for yourself to make. And then when you do associate with someone who you feel you can trust and know, you evaluate the organism, the organization that's around them, you look at the teachings, you see if they're freeing or constricting. All the people, the ones who really know and will assist the individual to become free. And again, there are degrees in which you have to submit to that in order to go further, just as and to be the that free individual working, just as if you were to go to a medical school, you don't get to pick up the scalpel and do surgery right away. You have to submit to the teachings and training, and if you don't want to do this, then you can't be successful in reaching that level of function that you are after. What we are after here is a level of function, realization, experience, and development. And the real guide and teacher is associated with greater work and will assist the person to become part of that and help fulfill what they need to do in this world and why the soul, why you have come into this world, and to recognize and again be part of whatever the filling of the needs are for the greater work. The service is the true path, the path of realization, being the heart, becoming oneself again, and fulfilling itself through service and helping lift all others toward this realization, this freedom, this liberation, this unity, this peace and joy, because not only are you an individual, but all beings are part of you and you part of them. We are all of one being, and so we work together. It's very important within this consideration of teaching and guidance and assistance, whether it's with somebody else or not, to place yourself in terms of why you're doing it, and that is not only a personal greed and toward realization, but also experiencing, be able to help all other beings, all other things within this world, in the conveyance of love and light, that breath and harmony and joy, to also reach that level of liberation and freedom as part of yourself. So it is service, it is dedication of yourself. in the work. And this is part of the considerations that are needed to be included when you take toward the guidance through another individual or association with somebody or an organization that's transmitting this particular work. If they're not doing it, then the question as to why and what they are doing and whether in truth they are part of the real work. So these are part of the conveyances and the considerations that require a little stepping back prior to immersion in a particular path or association with somebody who claims to be a guide or teacher or has been given that title, and to keep in mind the imperfection of the individual as yourself are perfecting yourself. You seek that path to of perfection, so too may another guide be a real guide and be able to assist you, but not be perfect within their own being, maybe growing in that, and this you have to be aware of, that there can be some conflicts in what they do, and pay attention to this. It doesn't mean that they can't be of help and can't be of assistance, but it may be that they're limited in some way or they're working on something themselves. So your association has to consider that. Beyond that, you place yourself toward the teaching all the time. All of the way is open to you, and no matter what you do, and how you'll find yourself being drawn to this, because this is the natural unfolding of the soul. And no matter how far you go, there'll always be more. This is the starting point. Where you are is the beginning point of where you will become to. And no matter how great you become, there is expansion and growth more. Losing yourself, losing your identity as separate, these are aspects which one continues on. And part of the assistance of the individual is to be the intermediary through there. So if you're intending to love everyone and love the unseen and love the ideal, you know, beloved and your Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and you can't see this being, or you're looking to love all that exists in the world and you can't love another person, there's a basic problem there. And this is one of the reasons for association with other people and how we learn to live. And the teaching is conveyed through life. The love of an individual is greatly needed, and the ability to love another individual is greatly needed in going further, especially one in front of you, then leads the way to being able to love those and that which is unseen or not in your presence. This is one of the reasons for the being of the institution of guidance, that you have a person there who you can hit against, who can assess what's going on, so that delusions of inspiration or desires can be evaluated and be brought back to the individual if they're out of balance. Very difficult to assess this when you yourself are immersed in it. Simple things like submission of yourself, of letting go of your self-identity as being separate, requires the submission of yourself to that which is real and true, and the merging in that. And there are step-by-step manners to approach that, level beyond level beyond level. And this, again, is where the assistance of an individual who knows how to do this and who you can work with comfortably can be of direct help. and you will progress much faster generally than attempting to do it on trial and error on your own. These are considerations of the path, and this is part of how the teaching is conveyed. Beyond this, there's the work, and the work which is the real work of the need of the day, the filling of the needs of the day. This is the greater work of which one becomes part as one goes further. And yet you always have it open to you all the time. You can be assisting. You can be helping. And part of this guidance process through an individual is to help you unfold and recognize what is real, help develop the intuition, help discern what is the correct manner to approach guiding or helping others and fulfilling your own work, the gaining of tools and abilities that allow you to convey and fulfill the work that you need to do in this world, and to help open the door so that you can make that direct contact and grow within that to become part of the greater work itself. And this is part of the filling of needs. And we'll get into a little bit more of this in the next talk.